We fled Baltimore for the new territory, desperate to escape the death that hangs ever present over the city. It's a funny thing, fleeing. You flee danger for safety. You flee to escape, like we escape the oppressive fog that clings to the cities. But even in the distance we put between us and it, the blackness lingers. I can feel it in my lungs, feathers that tickle the back of my throat. A cough I cannot clear. It's the smoke that billows from the front of the train as we ride further away, hanging in the air. There is no escaping what we've done. The steaming beast we ride in, for all of its conveniences, is proof enough of that. The danger follows. It taunts us. We have ruined this world, and there is no escaping it. Elizabeth West, April 2, 1884. Journal excerpt. Prologue. Joe. May 23, 2031. No matter what you hear, no matter how curious you are, never ever go outside during a storm. Do you understand? Tell me you understand. The wind howls and something thrashes against the house, waking me from a restless sleep. Beeswax, faint and sharp, fills my nostrils as a cool gust of wind whips by me, and I blink my eyes open. Stirring from my cocoon of blankets, I peer around the sitting room as my eyes adjust. The room is cast in a flaxen-colored haze, turning the rich pinks and purples in the floral wallpaper almost brown. Everything is covered in a thin layer of sand. The candlesticks on the table next to me are no exception, finished in dust and burned to nearly nothing from the long hours of the night before. Eyes still bleary, I stare down at my sister as she sleeps. Her chest rises and falls with each steady breath, and her bright red hair, the color of the red saguaro flowers that bloom in the dunes beyond the farm, spreads across my lap. She sleeps so peacefully, I envy her. The house creaks, a familiar, expected sound for an old ranch house. But when floorboards groan under slow, heavy footsteps behind me, I twist around to find Papa staring through a crack in the shuttered window. The metal that darkens the windows is both a shield and an ominous reminder. Realizing the storm still howls outside, the fuzziness of sleep instantly fades away. Mama, she still hasn't made it home yet. Never ever go outside during a storm. Her words are ingrained in me, the hymn of survival in this place of increasing danger.
It's finally letting up,
Papa whispers, as if he can feel my concern. Carefully, I extricate myself from my sister and recall my first memory of Mama and I playing with Scarlet when she was a baby, cooing and fidgeting on the plush oriental rug beneath my feet. Tears prick my eyes, and the worried sentiments that had hounded me until I finally fell asleep return. I watch Papa for a moment, wondering what it is he thinks he sees beyond the crack in the metal shutters, through the whirling sand as the storm assaults the exterior. Mama would never venture out in a sandstorm. She would never risk the blinding, painful sting of sand or the possibility of death. It's why she has not come home yet. The only reason, I assure myself. Stepping up to the other window, I move the damask curtains aside and peer between the slight seam in the shutters. It started hundreds of years ago. The shift. Mama's great-great-grandma, Elizabeth West, wrote about it in her journal. Lethal fogs that suffocated the bigger cities after the Industrial Revolution, killing innocents and forcing those who were still able to flee out of their homes. That's why she came to Sagebrush all those years ago, to escape. But things didn't work out the way they'd planned on account of the sandstorms and the drought. It wasn't only the cities with their big machines and coal engines that were plagued by the changed weather, but the whole world. Mama always reminds me that the sand is our greatest enemy, but it's also the sea of sand surrounding our town that keeps us nestled away from scavengers in search of precious water we can't afford to share. It's the sand that keeps us safe. Sometimes I get too curious.